Soundcheck. Hari Om. Very special Hari Om to all of you. I do not know if you will be if you are hearing me properly, because I'm stuffy and with some flu. I can hear myself a little bit, so you'll have to bear with me. Welcome to this camp once more. I'm very delighted to be with you this year again. And I hope in these few days we'll be able to revel in spirituality. We are going to see in these 2 days the Shabari Prasang of Aranyakanda of Tulsi Ramayana, and also we'll see Kena Upanishad. Kena Upanishad is there available on sale. Those of you who don't have it, please try and get a copy. Yeah? It's just outside. So I think this class is Navada Bhakti, which is Shabari Prasang. Actually, that Shabari Katha of Ramayana has 2 main portions. Bhagwan Shri Ram's meeting with Shabari, and second portion is where he gives to her 9 forms of devotion. In your camp souvenir, I think it is mentioned Navada Bhakti, which is the 9 forms of devotion. But you will see the whole Shabari Prasang is printed there. So we'll try to see that whole thing. It is much longer, but we'll try to fit it in. But first, let us study a little bit about why we are here, why we are studying that thing, why we have camps, why we need spirituality, why it is so important. It is a very basic and simple thing. If you look at human existence, human life, you will see that the vast majority of human beings spend their time in the pursuit of some sort of happiness. Or, if we are not doing that, pursuing happiness, we are running away from some sort of sorrow. One out of those 2 things we are doing. In this pursuit of happiness, we are doing 2 other things. See, so first of all, there's the human being and 2 arrows. So here, either he is running after happiness, and the other one, he's running away from sorrow. In this running after happiness, again, he's engaged in 2 things. 2 more arrows come there. In order to get his happiness, which he's running after, he's either engaged in securing something which he does not have, or protecting something which he already has. Those, it is called as yoga kshema. The first 2, sukha prapti, the acquisition of happiness, or dukkha nivritti, running away from sorrow. But in this sukha prapti, he feels that his happiness will only come if he achieves things which he does not have, or he protects those things which he has. This is where the human being has found himself, in these things only. These preoccupations of the human being have been totally misdirected, misunderstood, and it catches him in an eternal loop, and he keeps wobbling in the mud of samsara because of this thing. Because there's no proper understanding, no clarity, And clarity with regard to what? Like, see, he's in pursuit of happiness. First, he's not clear where that happiness is. So there's no clarity about where happiness is. So if you're not clear, then that will he will be on a wild goose chase all the time. Hmm? So therefore, he thinks that his happiness is, if I don't have this, I procure this thing, I'll be happy. And whichever thing he has, he doesn't want to lose it, he tries to secure that thing. Because he believes that it will keep him happy. He doesn't realize also that in trying to secure it, he loses his happiness. Whatever we have, and we try to secure that thing, our life is spent in the attempt to secure that, and so we never live. We expend, just like when you have a certain amount of money, you spend it on this thing or that thing. So we spend our life in securing that or procuring something. And then there's no life to live. So the human being is not living. He spends his life dying. We spend our life dying. Why? Because the thing which we are trying to procure or secure, those two things are dying. And if our life is attached to them, then we spend our life dying. So are we living or dying? All of us have our boarding pass already. We are in the waiting lounge. Waiting to go. The one who does a very strict analysis of all of this and understands very clearly about the nature of the world and what he's engaged in and where is his happiness and all of these things, who does that, that is the one who will start living. Otherwise, humanity spends its time dying. That is an amazing thing. Now see, Bhagavan Sri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita gives so many wonderful ideas for us to think about. Let me just introduce you to two most wonderful lines from Bhagavad Gita. One line says, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam. This should be the guiding principle for anybody who is born into this samsara. Because the samsara is characterized by those words. What do we encounter in samsara? See, when you go, you know, outside on some trip where there's a lake and there's boating and all these things, the first thing they do is they give you a life jacket. So you go to scuba diving or whatever, whatever you call snorkeling, they will give you one of those things. Or any boat trip, by regulation, they must give you a life jacket. So that if you fall into the water, you know, accidentally, you will not sink. Well, when Bhagavan put us in this samsara, the life jacket is Bhagavad Gita. The life jacket is scriptures. But we cast aside life jacket and we drown in samsara. So this is the life jacket of Bhagavad Gita. The samsara is characterized by Janma, Mrityu. Janma is the beginning, our entrance into samsara. Mrityu is exit from this samsara, right? And in between entrance and exit from samsara, there is jara, or first vyadhi means diseases, and then there is jara. Jara means old age, waning, everything goes away, you know? Eyes go, ears go, hair go, head go also, teeth go, muscles go, everything go. So they all go. And then finally we go also. Mrityu. If the person understands this about samsara and understand that every one of them is associated with so much of sorrow, then he'll be able to float in this samsara. That is his life jacket. And if he doesn't, samsara mein doob jayenge aur aakhir mein mar jayenge. Bas, that is samsara. He'll sink and then die. And the thing about that is, samsara is so wonderful. What it does? See, you're plunging into samsara. And samsara gives some thappar from this side. Turn up. Then throws you out. And you go there. And you take a round. And you come back. Take some more. Throw you out. Come again. Take more. See, this is samsara. We go only to come back for more. I tell you, you catch a donkey. Catch any donkey. You beat him. And you let him go. You think he'll come back for more? Next time he sees you, he'll run away. My human being, he gets beating from every side. And he comes back for more. One man was saying, he was telling to another man, I have heard that we have evolved from monkeys. That other man said, hey, don't say like that. That is an insult to the monkeys. It appears as though the animal kingdom, they have natural built-in instincts that keep them away from sorrow and all that. But the human being, he's given freedom of choice and he uses that to come back for more sorrow. So Bhagavan says that this samsara, and this is the other line in Bhagavad Gita, yehi samsparshaja bhogaha. All these enjoyments, that seeming enjoyments which we have in this world, dukkhayo naya evate. It is the very womb of all sorrow. And when those statements are made in Bhagavad Gita, it is not that they are to be taken superficially. Deep study must be given for all of those statements. Huh? It doesn't mean that, see, right now, you'll say, but Swamiji, I'm not having any sorrow. I'm fine. Why is he telling only sorrow? I'm fine. They're also dukkha dosha anudarshanam. See how everything is associated with sorrow in this samsara. Huh? So the statements are not just superficial statements. They mean to say that right now, you may be thinking that I'm not having any sorrow, I'm fine. But you know, remember what we said, your action at all times is you are in pursuit of some happiness or you are running away from some sorrow. In both of those things, there's sorrow. If you're in pursuit of happiness, what it means? Behind there is sorrow, isn't it? Sorrow is dogging your heels. So you're in pursuit of happiness. Or if you're running away from sorrow, again, there's sorrow there. But human beings are very good at looking the other way. When there's something which we do not like, we don't look. We look the other way. And we do like ostrich, you know. We put our head in the sand and pretend that everything is fine. But really, let me delve into that thing a little bit more. You will see whether our life is full of sorrow or not. Because people only go on saying, no, my life is fine. I'm okay. See, I told it last time. Nah? If you can get somebody to go to the grocery store on a Saturday and buy all the wonderful vegetables and things which you like, they will choose exactly which you like and they'll buy it for you. Would you go shopping on a Saturday? Suppose somebody is doing that free service. And they'll buy exactly what you like. Anybody will go shopping? To stand in line there and wait at the checkout? If somebody can do it for me for free, I'll not go. If somebody can drive you to work every day, you don't have to drive, the person will drive exactly how you want. If there's a red light, they'll run also. You'll be glad, and you have a chauffeur. You'll sit there. Huh? If somebody can come, after they buy the vegetables, they come home and cook it for you. You don't have to cook it. You will like it or not. We love it. If somebody can go to your job and do your job exactly the way you do it, and you just stay home. We like it or not. This person is doing everything for free, eh? Free they are doing it. You just stay home and this is like a genie. You get a genie to do all of these things. Right? Ready what? Genie will do everything just as the way I want it. Who would not love a genie like that? It shows that you don't want to go shopping. You don't want to drive. You don't want to go to work. You don't want to take the kids to football. You don't want to take them to baseball. You don't want to take them to lessons. If the genie can do all of that, you will be gladly there sitting there. Let the genie do. Alakazam, do. So if you don't want to do it, it means somehow that thing is sorrow for you. So you see, shopping is sorrow, cooking is sorrow, driving is sorrow, working is sorrow, because we don't want to do it. If somebody is there to do it, gladly do. So what is not sorrow? If it was joy, you would love to do it, isn't it? You will tell genie, no, you sit, I will do. You will tell the genie. But you offer this, you give this offer, this proposal to all human beings. See how many will choose to put the genie to sit down. It shows that everything this human being engages in is sorrow for him. He doesn't want to do it, but he has to do it. If he doesn't do it, he's afraid something will happen. So he's doing it out of fear. If I don't do it, such and such thing will happen, you know. Some sort of, or if I don't do any work, I'm lazy, I may get sick, you know. So he's afraid of getting sick. So we do not out of love or happiness, we do out of fear. And that demonstrates that there is sorrow in everything which we do. So now, the Bhagavad Gita tells, you see dukkha, dosha, anudashanam. See that there is sorrow in everything which you are engaged in this samsara. Even if you run a business, and it's very successful and all, you have to go, because you think if I don't go there tomorrow, the competitors will get us. I was traveling in this one airline recently. So there are many empty seats in that plane. So that flight attendant, he told everybody, please go and sit next to the window. So we all moved next to the window, you know. Wherever vacant seat were there, we sat next to the window. He said, it is not that we want to balance the weight or anything. We just want to see, make sure our competitors outside see that we are moving with a full flight. So we have, running some business, we go and we make sure we do it properly, because if we don't, that competitors will get some edge over us in no time. So we go there, make sure we are prompt, and go before time, make sure everything is running fine. We are afraid that the competitors will take us over, will pass us, surpass us. Now, Bhagavan says, try to understand that all our activities are there running only because we are running away from some sorrow, trying to avoid some sorrow. And in between we have some, no, see the other side. In between we have some little joy, you know. I go and I enjoy some mango kulfi. Or I enjoy some, you know, rasmalai. Something I enjoy. There, he says, yehi samsparshaja bhogaha. This enjoyment of these things with the senses, where the senses enjoy. Because the tongue enjoys the kulfi only. Dukhayo naya eva. That is the source of all sorrow also. How? That also is source of sorrow. Because one enjoyment, once we enjoy that thing, it leads to a vasana, impression. That vasana kicks up a desire. Desire kicks me into enjoying again. Enjoyment again strengthens the vasana. Vasana kicks up a desire. Desire strengthens the, kicks me into enjoyment once more. And I am caught in this triangle. Shankaracharya describes in his Vivek Chudamani. I'm caught in this triangle. And if you're caught, if you're a prisoner, if you're a slave, then how you'll be happy? So, he says all of this worldly enjoyment is also the source of all sorrow. Because it catches me in a eternal triangular loop and can never come out. That is, you see, suppose you never had mango kulfi. And somebody said, come, try this. And when it lands on your tongue for the first time, you say, wow. That wow, leaves such an impression on the mind. That is the beginning, the rudimentary stages of a vasana. So the next time you pass by that shop, you remember, that vasana causes you to, that impression causes you to remember that. And you stop. And you do it 4 or 5 times. After that, the car stops for itself. Vasana. The impression, vasana is nothing but a thickened impression. An impression that has become thick, dense. Impression is indelible. If it's a rudimentary, no, freshly made impression, you may be able to wipe it out. You see, if you walk on this path, on this grass here, only once a week, nothing will happen. But if you walk on this grass 5 times a day, it leaves a track, isn't it? You'll see a footpath. That's what is a vasana. So we're caught in that thing. And once you're a slave to your desires and vasanas and all, then no slave could ever be happy. So this is why we have to, I was telling in the beginning, we have to see why we're coming to camp, why we're studying scriptures, why we have this, you know, spiritual classes. First, the person has to be made aware of his present state of existence. Because if you're not aware that you're caught in samsara and you feel that you're comfortable, then there's no need for any spirituality or scriptures or anything. The person has to be, because I tell you, look, how many of you are sitting here, right? Let us say 50, 60, whatever number. This country has 300 million people. 300 million, of which 60 adults are sitting here. You catch the other remaining people and you tell about this spirituality. They will ask, what are you talking about? They don't even know that there is a problem. If they see any problem, they think it's some political problem, maybe problem with immigration or something. That they consider to be problem. It's all the daily things. Or the economy is a problem. But the economy is least of problem. There are people who are living in countries where there's abject poverty, but they are still happy. So their economy is no problem for them. We are talking about a different sort of problem, a different sort of sorrow. We're talking about a sorrow which is caused not by external factors. We're talking about sorrow which is caused by some misunderstanding, some misadjustments in the mind. Tulsidas ji writes a nice, very profound doha in Ayodhya Kanda. You see this thing. You can chant also Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. 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 Kahu na ko duk duk kar data. Jai Ram. Kahu na ko sukh dukh kar data. Nij krit karam bhog sab bhrata. Karm pradhan bhishv kari ra. Shri Ram Jo jas karai so tas phalu chakha. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Jai Raghurama Jai Sitarama Jai Sitarama Siyavar Ramachandra ki Jai. Tulsidas ji says, Kahu na ko sukh dukh kar data. Nothing or nobody in this world is the source of your sorrow or your joy. Economy does not cause your sorrow. Or the weather does not cause your sorrow. Or the state of political affairs does not cause your sorrow. He says, Nijakrit. Nijakrit is a very significant phrase. Karama. Nijakrit karam. Means whatever my response is to this world, Nijakrit means whatever response ensues from me. So here I encounter something in the world. Whatever response ensues from me to meet that thing in the world, that will determine whether I have joy or sorrow. Not the thing in the world. It is the response that ensues from me. That is why the place is hot. So I'm coming from Trinidad. So the response that ensues from me, that is the response, that the outside hot remains same. The response that ensues from me is, The response that ensues from you is, the response that ensues from me leaves me, okay. The response that ensues from you leaves you, what should I do about this thing? But you see, it is only the responses, difference in responses, not the outside temperature. The outside temperature remains constant. You see? So the adjustment has to be made where? Inside. Just like the person who lives in a very poor country, he can be very happy based on his response to the outer world. So it's nijakrita, only created by our self. And this is true for everything. That's why a great saint, for example, Mahatma Gandhiji, could be happy in jail also. His response to that is different from the response we have. He's happy in jail. He writes his autobiography in jail. So, it is, and Gurudev used to call this, our contact, what actually is important is our contact with the world. The way we contact the world. If you center your spirituality right there, you will become the happiest being wherever you are or whatever you are doing. Just bring all your effort on this little thing, your contact with this world and all the data you are receiving from the world through all your five senses, whatever is coming, bring all your attention to bear at that point in your spirituality and see how you are responding to things of the world. It will change, it will turn your life around. So, in this journey, you're supposed to be concentrating right there. I am going to change or reorient, that is a better word, reorient my contact with this world, my relationship with this world, and all the different things I encounter in this world. Reorient my contact, my relationship. If that is done properly, slowly, slowly, you know, I'm not going to do this in a day. We're not talking about some cataclysmic upheaval in my life. Or, you know, something like that. I'm talking about gradual. Shanehi, shanehi, uparamet, buddhya, driti, grihitaya. Slowly, slowly, with a very clear and strong intellect, I catch my mind, which is in contact with this world all the time, and I try to reorient that thing. Shanehi, shanehi. Bhagavan says, the process should be slowly, slowly. Not rashly or, you know, in haste or anything. That Gurudev also said, hasten slowly. It means care and attention. One by one, I will root them out. All the wrong understanding, wrong contact, and all this sort of thing, right? It should come to a point where I'm able to see all the tricks of the mind. How the mind is working. The mind is the most tricky instrument in this universe. Even Bhagwan has to grapple with his mind. It is the most tricky instrument. And if you are not able to see your mind and see all of the tricks that it plays, then the mind will take us for a ride. Slowly on the path. See, I'll give you an example. See, let us just study this thing a little bit more. Because all what we are going to study will come to bear on this only. You know that you are on the spiritual path when all the little worldly things are not important to your mind anymore. I'll give you the example yesterday only. Let me tell you, we were having a nice discussion, Himanshu and myself, and he told me about a nice case study which was done recently. And there are so many examples like that. I'll give you some couple examples. What was his example? See this. In India, they made a small, Nokia made a small phone for 600 rupees. Because the thought of the company was, this is a country which has so many millions of people who really cannot afford an expensive phone. A cheap phone, 600 rupees. You make your calls, you receive calls on bus. That's what they're thinking. The company's thought is a very good one. But the human mind is a little bit more complex than that. What the company didn't think You know, it failed miserably. It didn't sell. Because the human mind, being as complex as it is, and being so confused, so taken over by samsara, the phone did not succeed because the people on the street who wanted a phone, they wanted along with the phone to buy some status as well. That when I get the phone, it must have some special apps. So that when I get it, I can, you know, show to my other friend or to my colleague, to my neighbor, or whoever it is, my phone has these apps, you know. I can get the latest tunes. I can get, you know, radio, FM. I can get this thing. I can get. So he not only wants to conduct his business of talking to other people, but he wants to be able to make an impression on somebody else as well. But please do not think that this is a far-fetched reality. This is there in all of us. We come into the samsara with this thing. Huh? And you should not feel bad also. What you have to do, take this thing to be a given about human existence, and in your actions, in your thought, in the way your mind works, go on looking for this trait in your daily life. And you will see that it is very much there in all of our life. It is not to, when we give these examples, it is not to put down anybody or lift anybody or any such thing. It is only so that we can see our own life and see how the human mind works. And believe me, this is there in all our lives, in different forms, in different degrees. Some years ago, they did. So in this example, please pay attention to that. The human mind is not looking for the basic, which it is supposed to be looking for. It is not just looking for the basic thing is I should be able to talk to somebody. That's why a cell phone was developed, na? Talk to somebody over there, or they should be able to talk to me. So the human mind is not looking for that basic thing. It is looking for gratification in something more. So that's a kind of status thing. Some years ago, they were doing a study on people's complaints about elevators. When you're standing in the lobby, the elevator, you know, takes so long to come down, or some of the elevators, you know, have to go so many floors. So it's stopping at each floor, and you're looking there, you're so disgruntled, when this thing will come, and you're busy to go up to your room or something. Or some elevators, naturally, they come slowly only. They creep. So they did a study on how to, you know, make it more efficient or speed it up or whatever. They came up with two solutions. We invest in R&D in the manufacture of faster, speedier elevators. Which will, of course, have to pass regulation and, you know, so many things, because when you speed up, then the danger increases, and you have to, so many things have to be accompanying that. So the cost will be so much. What was the other solution? It worked magic. Right between the two elevators and behind the elevator, what it means, you're facing the elevator, behind you also, put two mirrors. Put a long mirror here, and just behind you also put another mirror. So people who come to wait for the elevator, they are enamored by their own looks. So you stand there looking. And then they look behind also. They forget they are waiting for elevator. They do not mind at all, you know, about this wait time or this time. And the thing worked. Magic. See the human mind. He's disgruntled about this problem, but you just find a way to preoccupy the mind with something which he likes. Everybody likes to look at themselves. Everybody is their favorite own self. Then other people after. Now see, this is a fact about samsara. It is not that you pick on anybody or anything. You see, this is how samsara works. until the human being has come to figure out his mind like this and keep closely watching the mind and is ready to do something about this, until you have a passion in building in you to treat with this mind, to grapple with this mind, to do something about all its tricks and all its preoccupation in this samsara, you're really not on the spiritual path. Because a person can even get engaged in this path to satisfy even those tricks of the mind. Well, I am close to Swamiji, you know. Huh? That is another trick of the mind. The person should be there because he has a deep desire to treat with his samsaric mind, and he wants to be able to master that mind, not to just fall prey even on the spiritual path. Oh, I have studied this text and that text and the other text, and I have done, you know, gone through Gita 10 times, and that is a trick of the mind only. Watch the mind. Don't let that again is just some paltry thing in samsara only. Huh? Suppose I have done 100 malas. The desire to let somebody know, you know. Again, trick of the mind. When the mala has caught you now, you were caught by perhaps golf outside, let us say. Now you left golf and you're caught by mala. Are they golden chain, iron chain? Chain is? Chain. So to watch the mind's craving to get that little compliment from the other person, you did 100 malas? Are what? Aap to bade mahatma hai. To hear that, you know, that does something inside. Ah. That means you have just left an iron chain and now you are caught by golden chain. But you are still caught. The person who takes this matter of the mind seriously and it comes closer, I'm going to deal with this mind. Huh? Forget all the other things. I'm going to deal with this mind. I'm going to take this spirituality very seriously. It either I die or this mind dies. One will die. That person is a serious sadhak. A spiritual aspirant. So you have to get serious about this. Therefore, if you look, see, I'll tell you. If you look at spiritual people, see, our Gurudev, I could tell you about our Gurudev. Right? See, scenes. Outside, when you see them like this, they are jolly, happy, jovial, you know, joking, you know, bubbling with enthusiasm, zeal, and all that kind of thing. If you see Gurudev in a quiet moment in his kutya, the face has a seriousness and a depth and a gambhirta that will just scare the living daylights out of you. It means that they have looked at this mind with such seriousness, such concentration, that when they look at that mind, they are serious as a soldier who is fighting on the battlefield. A soldier cannot be joking there, you know. So he may joke on the outside, but if you see them in their quiet moments, in their den, in their kutya, you will see that seriousness beaming out. And that is because they have come a long path of a serious dealing with the mind. There's a great depth of seriousness in all of Mahatmas I have visited and seen. When you see them in their quiet moments, we have to have that seriousness. Outside, you may joke with samsara. But samsaras, one more thing, you know, if you're in the army or in the police or wherever, the police people are working outside, you know, everywhere. But there's a control center in the NYPD, where for everything is being directed from there. Control center. Master control. The master control for this samsara is our mind. If we control everything here, samsara has no problems actually. That is why Mahatmas also say, the world is perfect. World is perfect. Something is wrong? In master control. So we have to get serious with that mind, which will make a fool out of us. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandham okshayoho. The mind is the very source of all our bondages, or mind is also the source of the freedom. So if I master control, if I become the master of master control, everything in samsara will be fine. But master control has gone out of control. And this is our problem. Now, in all of this, all these things we will be studying. We'll be studying to see about master control. We become master controller. We master the mind. Then we don't have to worry about anything outside. Okay. And that is a serious job. You have to keep watching. Everything else is joke only. Really, in the samsara, everything is joke only. There's nothing serious out there. All seriousness has to be here only. You tell some serious thing out there, I'll show you. Really, see, if you tell, okay, you know, there's terrorist activity going on. Swamiji, that's a serious thing. Terrorism everywhere. Are they how serious? That thing has been going on for 10,000 years, millions of years. Same thing, isn't it? And all of us have gone through so many lifetimes and experienced so many of this thing. And over, see, if you see the same movie every day, that will be serious? That will become a matter of joke only, isn't it? Same movie over and over. And one fellow was seeing some graffiti on the wall in that movie. In that movie, he was looking, and there's some graffiti on the wall. And while he was reading that line, that train passed and blocked it. So he did not finish reading that line and couplet. He could not finish reading because the train just passed and blocked. He said, hey, bhai, I went 10 times to see that movie and that train still did not pass away. So he could not read that thing. Samsara is the same joke. Nothing serious at all about samsara. But there's some seriousness which has to be engendered in our mind. Okay, so now in these few days, we'll see scriptures. Many classes are there. You take a resolve. There's one more thing. You will not make any progress on your spiritual journey if you don't take strong oaths, vows, resolve, resolution. This is one of the key things in spiritual growth. Very, very important. Actually, I don't know why people don't stress on it so much. But taking vows, vyavasayatmika buddhi, Bhagavan Sri Krishna calls it. Vyavasayatmika buddhi means a buddhi that takes strong resolution. And whoever says what, whoever wants to do what, let them do. But I have taken a strong resolution to follow in this path, or to do this thing, or to, you know, this spiritual sadhana. Take a strong resolution to do it. That works magic. If we don't do, well, Swamiji, we could come back next time. Nothing happened. We'll say. And then nothing will happen. Because you did not take a strong resolve, resolution. Okay. So now we'll see then in our morning class this and also daytime class, Navadha Bhakti. Let me tell you about those two things. Bhagwan Shri Ram left Ayodhya, came to forest, and there Sita Ji was kidnapped. Then, as he was coming through the forest, he heard about the greatness of the tapas of our most wonderful lady. He heard from Kabanda. There is a wonderful lady. Her name is Shabari. She's there in the forest. And she has done ghor tapas. Just hearing alone, the Lord thought, oh, I must see this Shabari. And he walked into Shabari's ashram. And there, Tulsidas, she describes it so nicely. When he walked into her ashram, oh, Shabari's lifetime of all tapas had borne fruit. He was so moved to see her, and she was so moved to see him. And Tulsidas's description is just absolutely fantastic. From tomorrow morning, we'll see that meeting with Shabari. And then he also gives her 9 forms of devotion. That we'll see. Then in the other class, we'll see Kena Upanishad. This is a most wonderful Upanishad. See, when I was a young student, that used to be my favorite Upanishad. Kena Upanishad. And why it is called Kena Upanishad? Kena means by whom? By who? By who Upanishad? Because that is the first word in the Upanishad. So it is given that name. Kena, by who? But we'll see those words. Oh. Later on, I realized that all Upanishads are my favorite Upanishads. Because all of them are so wonderful. So nice, you know, so many things are there. So the Kena Upanishad, we'll see. There, the Rishi goes directly to Brahman. From beginning only. Directly to Brahman. See, they're like a moving train. Either you catch on or don't catch. Already it is? You know, sometimes you reach late in the train station? Train is already? Jugu, 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 jugu. You have to run. Two men were going like that in the train station. To catch that train, it appeared. And train had already started. So one of them managed to get in. The other one was screaming like anything. He did not get in. So one man who was standing, hey, you should be happy, you know, at least one of you got in. This fellow said, hey, I was the passenger, that fellow came here to bring me. This Upanishad is like that. We don't know who will catch up or who will not catch. But we will see tomorrow. Some will catch, some will not, but you don't have to worry. If you catch on, that is okay. If you don't catch on, that also is okay. Because, look here, in 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Shri Krishna tells Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tava cha Arjuna. Both of us, we have had countless births. Huh? Only thing I remember, mine, you don't. You don't remember yours, he tells Arjuna. So we have had countless births, and we shall also have countless more. So you don't catch in this birth, you'll catch in next birth. You don't have to worry at all. Time is immaterial as far as Brahman is concerned. Don't worry about it. Because Brahman is timeless now. And the Jiva is also anadi. Jiva is anadi, timeless. Anant. So don't let time bother. Don't put this additional pressure on yourself. Oh, everybody caught it and I did not catch. Don't let it bother your mind. We say, Brahman is sukham. Brahman is sukham. Eh? But marga also should be sukham. The path also should be joyous and happy and jolly and ever. If all the time on the path you're sulking, oh, that also will be bondage. On the path you will not move forward. All right. So we'll see this Kena Upanishad in morning as well. Okay. Let us chant a little bit. See some nice words of Shri Ram. Karuna Nidhan प्रभु श्री राम सब गाइए करुणा निधान प्रभु श्री करुणा निधान प्रभु श्री राम। करुणा निधान प्रभु श्री राम। करुणा निधान प्रभु श्री राम। सीता वल्लभ हनुमत सेवित सीता वल्लभ हनुमत सेवित भरत प्राण हरि प्रिय रघुराम। भरत प्राण हरि प्रिय रघुराम। करुणा निधान प्रभु श्री राम। करुणा निधान प्रभु श्री राम। करुणा निधान प्रभु श्री राम। प्रभु श्री राम। ओम पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम। थैंक यू वेरी मच टू आंजनेय। मेक्स मी फील लाइक सिंगिंग even though I have a cold.